Welcome back to the Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation, episode 142. And I'm here with Dustin Huber, everyone's favorite. And we're talking about seven habits of highly effective people. So, Dustin, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Dayton. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Give us a mic test. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Okay, 1, 2. Can everybody hear me? Sounding good, Daniel?
He is live and he's here with me, and we're happy to do this. This topic, everyone wants to have to be well at what they do, right? No one wants to be bad at what they do, and we want to be effective. And you've heard the phrase that you can climb the ladder and then to realize that you've climbed the wrong ladder. And so some of this is changing what we view as success. He talks about these glasses we put on of like a paradigm, the way that you see the world. And so the way that he makes it sound for these seven habits is that there are a pair of glasses that you can put on, and it's a paradigm, the way that you see the world. So, but just to start before we get into it, some of your personal background, you have already starred on one of our trailers, right? The claim to fame.
Yes.
Right? You've seen your face. What was your first reaction when you like saw that? And
incredibly honored and humbled to be a part of that photo shoot and be a part of that messaging. I mean, I've even before I worked for Nussbaum, I mean, I saw the trailers on the road, and the messaging has just been incredibly impactful. And then since coming to Nussbaum and seeing the feedback that those trailers get from just the general public out on the road, I was just incredibly humbled to be a part of that photo shoot and to be able to represent Nussbaum, but more importantly, represent that message. You know, there is hope in troubled times going across the country. So, it was a really cool experience. Got to go with Ryan Jameson to that shoot. Got to know him. That was really kind of the first time I connected with him. Again, just kind of a really cool experience being a part of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a big reason for a lot of the people here, a lot of our drivers coming here to work here, is seeing these trailers, and it makes a statement. I mean, you think it's not just you're hauling goods, but you're hauling good news.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's pretty cool. It is. I love seeing those comments that we get on the road every week, and there's been some really cool ones we've gotten recently.
Yeah.
Like as far as this year, it hasn't been our most profitable year, but I think we've had the most messages that we've ever gotten before.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to be said for what we're doing here. It's like it's like we're here to make money, but we're also here to spread a message and to impact the people around us.
Yeah.
Those have been really cool.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite parts is on Fridays when you guys send those out, is opening that link and just hearing the stories. And I mean, honestly, some of those have brought tears to my eyes. I mean, just hearing what people are going through and that message at the right time that impacted them on those trailers is powerful.
It is. So. There's so many. A house being burned down, looking out, seeing the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Yeah. Or recently there was a miscarriage and they saw that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and that really touched them, and tons of things like that. And critical moments when least expect it, then you see that trailer pull around and bring that message, and kind of maybe confirming that God is listening to you and that he hasn't abandoned you. He's there with you. And so really great, timely message. And there's hope in troubled times, which is really nice to hear that.
So, great, simple messages. And I mean, but incredibly impactful.
Yeah. And just a note too, you mentioned working with Ryan on that project, and just in memory of him, I mean, we've named this studio the Jameson Studio, and he passed away. Maybe it's been 6 months or so. And just the impact that he made with those trailers, it played a big role in the inspiration and the marketing that we do here today. So you mentioned that, so I wanted to tip our hats to him in that way too. So God's really used him in really cool ways. And but you, how did you get to Nussbaum before you got here?
Yeah, so it's going to be 2 years here with being at Nussbaum. How I got here just I've had connections with knowing people really through church that have worked here. So I've always kind of known, you know, Nussbaum, you know, what the business was. And it was back probably 2.5, close to 3 years ago, Chris Aranda just said, hey, there's an opportunity here. We're looking for somebody to come over as a pricing analyst and you know, to help price freight and do some business analytics. Would you have any consideration, or would, you know, any thoughts of coming over this way? And at that time, I was working for Country Financial, an insurance company here in Bloomington. And so, yeah, I went out to eat with Chris, had the conversation, kind of just told him, you know, I would think about it. And it went a few more months. I never gave him like a solid answer on, you know, I kind of was, you know, stewing about it. And really it was until I came in here for a job shadow then, right, and saw the culture, saw the, you know, saw the people, saw the facility, that I knew that there was just something special about this place. And that's what really drew me in, was kind of coming over here and seeing the work too. And he described the work for me, and the work seemed really very intriguing. Different than what I was doing at Country. I was in more of a technical accounting role. And over here, this is more of looking at the data, analyzing data, but then also pricing the freight, which was something that I had zero experience, you know, working at Country. But really kind of sitting with each of the team over there on the pricing side and kind of seeing their energy and passion and enthusiasm for it, it was contagious. And yeah, so here I am. So I think that initial touch point, I think, happened in March, and it wasn't until September that I officially said, yeah, let's give this a try. So no, super glad I did. I mean,
cool.
I don't look back at all. It's been a great experience.
Yeah, and just to think of building your wheelhouse a little bit from going to that technical, like a very, it sounds like a more like deep technical role, and then being able to use those same, you know, spreadsheets or whatever you're working with to apply that to pricing.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're taking that experience that you've had and
Yeah, there was definitely some experience that I had at Country. I had some like financial analytics type background for about 5 years at Country, and I had been through different roles there at Country. But that probably that those 5 years probably is what has translated over here the best in terms of doing forecasting, looking at the data, interpreting the data, looking at trends, you know, pulling out the storyline behind what's going on in the numbers. But as far as coming over here then and pricing the freight and just learning about, you know, the trucking industry, completely new. I love it just in the fact of, you know, where I sit, I can see the trucks rolling in and out of the terminal here, right? And it's something that, you know, I can tangibly see, you know, versus, you know, an insurance contract, which is, you know, not quite as tangible as, you know, watching the wheels spin, you know, from a truck coming in and out of here.
Yeah.
So it's been a good change.
I love that too. Like going on a walk and then you see all the trucks pulling in and every once in a while I'll get someone honking their horn at me, like a friendly I love that. It's just fun and personal, and all the drivers here are great. The people we work with in the office, so a lot of great stuff to be said.
Yeah.
And quick question before we get into it: favorite trailer design?
Favorite trailer design?
Favorite trailer wrap?
Well, I'm actually not going to say the one that I'm on.
Okay.
probably my favorite is the Psalm series. And I don't even know if I would isolate which of those three is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think all of them are so neat. I think The Lord Is Near the Brokenhearted, the one that you had mentioned, I feel like that one gets the most feedback, right?
It does.
Just like, I mean, I think that just impacts people so much.
Right.
You know, when they're going through, you know, a time of great sorrow or distress, you know, I think that is so impactful. The, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God. I love the mountains on that one. Just the picture
That's
is
awesome.
Incredible. And then God is our refuge and strength is, you know, just all three of those just coming from the Psalms. I think the graphics, the background on those and the messaging on those are my favorite.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. They're well done.
Yeah, well, very well done.
I appreciate it. So,
so.
And glad to have you starring on one of them too. So just a quick disclaimer. This is a crash course, non-comprehensive breakdown of the seven habits. So we're going to walk you through really quickly what are the seven habits and then how can I grow in each of the habits.
Yeah.
What is it? How can I grow in each one? And this is a class, and the reason I asked Dustin to participate is he recently went through this class of the 7 habits. So it's kind of a little bit fresh, and I've taken the class too. And just coming off that class, what are some of your thoughts that you've had about that?
Yeah, well, I'll preface. I am by no means an expert. Like you said, I took this class back in March. There was an instructor that actually came here to town, Les Kashner, took our group through it. I had heard about the 7 habits before from a couple other people. I really didn't know what they were or really what this, what this looked like in your personal and professional life. But going through it, I think if I had to sum it up, I mean, it's really a lot of common sense principles, but man, it's super impactful. Both to you professionally, but what I've also realized is how much just personally it has impacted me, just these principles and how to, bring them in day-to-day life. Just to live under these principles has been super neat and challenging to do here, since March, since I kind of learned about each of these here. So really just kind of a framework on, how do we become, our best selves here, while we're at work, while we're at home, but then also how do we relate with other people and how do we work well with other people? Again, whether it be at work or, within the community, at church, those types of things. So, it was neat to go through, a good experience.
I mean, when you think of effectiveness and ability, a lot of times IQ comes to mind, but a lot of this comes down to EQ, emotional intelligence, and kind of learning from other people, how to work with people. It talks about intrapersonal skills, so not just working with yourself, like personal skills, or interpersonal. It's like sometimes you need to reach out, sometimes you need to reach in. So working in those two things, and then that's a great takeaways. I think when I first took the class for myself, I thought I was going to be really good. There's private victories, which are within yourself, and self-mastery, and then there's the public victories, the stuff that people see, the relationship aspect, interactions with other people. So just to give you an idea, like number one is being proactive. And so I thought I was going to be a lot better at those public victories. I thought I was like a lot better at relating to people. And it rates you on your things. And I thought that was the way it was going to go. And actually my, I got rated a lot lower on those private victories too. And I was like, okay, so what, you're kind of surprised by, you have other people look at you and say, hey, I think you do a good job at this. And it points out those areas of growth.
Yeah. There's a whole assessment that that we took before we did this, and it goes through each of the habits. You answer questions on each of those habits, and like you said, rates you. And it's neat to get the feedback from, I had other peers in the company here that gave me feedback on that assessment. My manager did that as well. And so, it's just neat to kind of see, where do I need, what areas do I need to work on? And where do I have strengths? Yeah. What are the other areas of weakness that, that I could improve upon?
I love it. So we're going to go through these 7 habits. And just to start, the first 3 are the private ones. Within yourself, self-mastery. Think about character, discipline, control of your own life. And then you have the public victories. And then those are the next 3. And coming up with win-win situations, growing trust and relationships. And then the last one is about renewal and continuous improvement.
I like to think of it as, like you said, that private victory is like, first you need to get your own house in order, right? Get yourself in order. And then, hey, after you have, your discipline to do that, the impact that you can have with others going into that public victory is even, will have a greater impact.
You need a strong foundation before you reach out to other people. And I think that's what I found out in my assessment, was that my own foundation was a lot weaker than I thought it would be. So just think thinking of like building that good base.
Yeah.
So I like that way you put that.
Yeah.
So this first one, let's break it down. What is this first habit of proactivity? And how would you explain that to someone?
Yeah. So I brought my cards with me here. So with the class, you've got a kind of these reference cards, and I love them because it gives you just a brief overview of each of the habits. Mm-hmm. And really, like you had said earlier, it goes through each of the paradigms, like what is the common paradigm and you know, really, how do we need to change our thinking about this? So, yeah, like you said, the first one is being proactive. And really, in order to be a highly effective person, you know, within this is I'm free to choose, and I'm ultimately responsible for my happiness, right? Whereas, you know, the common person might look at this and just say, you know what, I'm not going to change anything. There's nothing much I can do, you know, to control my circumstances. I'm just a product of, you know, the circumstances around me. So really what this habit is saying is, be proactive, right? We can't change all of the inputs that are coming into our lives, but we can adjust how we respond to it. We do have a choice on how we're going to respond, you know, to the things that are happening in our world or the things that are happening, you know, in our day-to-day lives.
We can't change what other people, what they say about us or what they we're given.
Yeah.
We can change about what we do about it, we respond.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot of what this does, it's saying, hey, let's focus on the things that you can control. What's in your sphere of influence, right? We have all these other pressures or, you know, decisions that maybe have been made by others or, you know, that are impacting our lives where we don't have any control. One of the things that they challenged us with this habit is don't get caught up in the things you can't control, right? Why are you worrying and stressing about the things you can't control, right? That spoke to me, you know, growing up. I was I was a warrior as a kid. Like, I mean, I worried about a lot of things, you know. And this is good just to step back, just that simple principle of, right, you know, hey, I'm not going to have, you know, I can't control that particular thing or that facet of life, but I can choose how I'm going to respond to it. And in doing that, I'm going to have a positive attitude about it, right? Like, I think even just the framing your mindset to be positive can have huge implications for you personally than just viewing everything as, you know, a Debbie Downer or being negative. Yeah. So it even walks through this habit, and it talks about using proactive language, right? Like, you know, I'm going to choose to, you know, do this, or, you know, it's you know, saying sorry when you need to take ownership for something versus, no, that's not my problem, right?
Yeah.
So it's about being proactive, accepting responsibility for the things that you're responsible for. And then at the same time, then reacting positively about things that you can't, you know, do that.
Yeah. So. With the language part, I think I use this a lot of times. You can audit yourself and think, like, most of the time, what type of language am I using? And if you have an event, usually it's like, oh, I have to go to this event tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's focusing on, like, the situations around me are forcing me to do this.
Yeah.
When to think the decisions that we make, we have made those decisions. Mm-hmm. So we have to own that and say, I want to do this thing.
Yeah.
And the life around me that, like, it's not, when you make a decision, you are wanting to do that. So taking the step forward and just having that proactive language, because when you have a reactive language, you're, and the way I see it is you have two circles. You have your outer circle of things you can't control, and you have your inner circle of the things you can control. And when you focus on that inner circle that you can control, your sphere of influence starts to expand.
Yeah.
And you influence more people, more projects. That starts to grow. But then if you focus on the outside stuff, all the stuff going on in the world, stuff you can't change about your job or relationships with people, then your sphere of influence starts to close in a little bit.
Yeah.
So just coming back to that, the decisions I make, you are in the driver's seat of your decisions.
Yeah.
There are things out of our control, right? We have to admit that. But there are a lot of things that we can do.
Yeah.
And we have to see that positive side of it. So just you sharing that to me was really helpful and a great reminder that focusing on what are the things that I can control. Yeah.
And just your example there on, you know, I have to go there versus I choose to go there. I mean, just that saying that, right? Like, yeah. I mean, your mindset is completely different when I say, you know, I'm choosing to do that, yeah. right? It's my choice versus, you know, if I'm saying, oh, I have to go there, right? My attitude is already, you know, terrible,
already.
You know, and I'm yeah. going to have a, you know, a bad time at, you know, wherever I'm going
yeah.
because, you know, I don't want to be there, right?
Yeah.
So it, yeah, a lot of it is just kind of that mindset of being proactive and taking responsibility.
Yeah. And I have a fun example with this one is Paul in prison when, yeah. all right, well, he's in prison. He can't control that. But he says, I'm going to make this my situation. And he starts singing, right? They start singing hymns.
Yeah.
And that his sphere of influence started to grow.
Yeah.
And he was able to impact all those people
yeah.
and people asking them, the jailer, if they could experience that.
Yeah, reach beyond his jail cell.
Yeah, exactly, reach beyond his jail cell. So I love that. And just thinking, if I was in jail cell, would I remain that type of positivity
yeah.
and just being able to see? So anyways, that's a yeah. fun example.
Yeah, no, it's a great one.
yeah. So what is it? Focusing on what's your resources, taking your resources, initiative, what God's given you, and focusing on the inner circle, your sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. And then how do you do it? And I think you've shared this, is try to use proactive language mm-hmm. instead of saying, I have to, say, I want to do this yeah. thing. So yeah. any other things
yeah.
about?
No, again, I think, I mean, that's huge. I think it's in how we speak to ourselves.
Yeah.
And again, is just realizing that, you know what, this is my choice on, you know, how I'm going to respond.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So I'll say this quick quote from the book. Reactive people are driven by feelings, by circumstances, by conditions, by their environment. Proactive people are driven by values, carefully thought about, selected, and internalized values. So if you're reactive, if the weather is good, then you feel good. If people are treating you good, then you feel good. You're always a whim to your circumstances. Mm-hmm. And to find that my happiness isn't derived from my circumstances, yeah. but it's driven from my values
yeah.
and the stuff
yeah,
going on.
That's so, huge.
Great reminder,
yep.
something I do very bad at.
Yeah.
so.
Good reminder for all of us.
Yeah, that's really good. So next one, begin with the end in mind. Man,
yeah.
what is that?
This one had probably one of the most or the biggest impact on me when I look at the seven habits. And really what this one is looking at, it's clearly defining your vision and purpose in life, and that's going to make the difference. It's all about living intentionally instead of just drifting. So one of the big examples or or one of the they actually showed a video in the class was somebody at their 80th birthday, right? And kind of seeing what kind of a legacy had they left, you know, their families all around them, what's their family saying, you know, about them. And it even goes then to like a funeral situation. I was actually just at a funeral a couple weeks ago, right? And when you go through a visitation line, it's all about, you know, wow, how did that person impact me? What kind of influence did they have? So this whole habit of beginning with the end in mind, it's really asking, okay, right, day to day, we're gonna have challenges and issues that come up, but what's the end goal, right? What's your life's mission statement? When you're gone, how do you wanna be remembered? What do you wanna be remembered for? Really, it's all about perspective. You know, we get so caught up in the day to day and in the busyness of life, and really what this helps you do is to really look forward and say, okay, you know, how do I want to leave a legacy here? A big part of this was to write a mission statement about your life. And then really then it's kind of shaping what you do around that mission statement. Like, this is the direction, you know, that I am taking my life. And it basically gives you that overarching, you know, goal or statement that says, this is why I'm living. This is why I'm here. This is what I want to do with my life.
I love it. That's a interesting picture to put in my head. If I was to die today, how would that change the way I live?
Yeah.
When you wake up, you step out of bed. If this was my last day, like, how would that change what I do?
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, thinking about what is that end goal?
Yeah.
At your 80th birthday, what do you want people to say about you?
Yeah.
And that, it puts things into perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
And
So often, or, you know, I get caught up in things, or I can, you know, I can worry about, you know, this or that, or the, you know, the challenges that I'm facing. And this has just been a good reminder, even just in the few months that I've taken this, is just, okay, step back, Dustin. You know, in the grand scheme of things, is this, you know, how is this impacting you? Yeah, it might seem, you know, big right now. But again, it goes back to, okay, how am I going to deal with this situation? And, you know, how am I going to, as well, impact others through this situation, right? Am I going to leave a legacy, you know, in dealing with this situation? Or how will people remember me, and that, you know, because of this?
I think it connects to that first habit, builds on that of proactivity, because you're living with intentionality and you're not drifting.
Yeah.
You're saying, this is the course that I want to go, and I can't control all the things that are going to happen along the way, but this is the type of life that I want to live. This is how I want to impact people. And that, what's the saying, that people don't remember what you say, but how you make them feel.
Yeah,
and that's huge. A lot of times when we think about work, we're thinking about what's my output, how am I, you know, am I doing a good job at what I'm doing? But then to think, how am I making people feel around me? And am I being a compassionate person?
Yeah.
Am I listening to people? And just developing that personal mission statement is a great way on the how to do it.
Yeah.
I think you explained well on what it is. It's asking, is this success what you want to be known for when you die? And how do you want people to remember you in different parts of your life? Everyone has different roles.
Yeah.
You're a husband, a father, a son, employee, church member.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep putting on those different hats and to say, like, in each of these hats, how can I begin with the end in mind? What does a successful father look like?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put each of those hats on for a business analytics director.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like?
Yeah.
What is the success? Because if you just get into life with no intentionality, and this day-to-day stuff, even little tiny things, we tend to drift a little bit. It's like, I didn't mean to work on this today, but I ended up doing it because it popped up.
Yeah.
But just to say, like, this is my big, and I'm getting into the next habit, so I don't want to spoil that one. So
they start to run together.
They
here.
Do run together. So I'm gonna cut myself off. But I'll just say this: the way that you can grow in this skill is take some time today, write a mission statement for your life, a vision statement of what you want your life to look like.
Yeah, and that's great. I love your comment about, you know, each of us has, you know, different roles, right? And some of those roles are different for each of us, like you said. And it's really kind of keeping each of those roles in perspective, right? You know, again, you know, as, you know, as a father, you know, what do I want my kids to say about me when I'm gone? You know, as an employee here after I retire, right? What kind of legacy, you know, what I leave here? You know, that's each of us has a role, and we're each in a place to impact, making an impact in you know, in some capacity or another. So
yeah. It's a great reminder. Oh, man. I could use that every day. If you woke up and told me that every day, Dustin, you said, you know, call me, slap me, and tell me. He's like, you know, what do you want?
Live people within your mission.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Live within your mission.
Yeah.
So, love it. Next one, habit three is first things first. What does that mean? First things first.
Yeah. So the common paradigm around this says, I spend time on what's most urgent, but really for a highly effective person, what their paradigm should be is I spend time on what's most important. So like we just talked about, you know, having a mission, having, you know, what does your life, what do you want it to look like? What this then does, it takes that vision that we had in habit two, and it really now turns it into an effective action here now for habit three. Probably one of the biggest takeaways that I had from this habit, and when, you know, when they say put first things first, they have a kind of a saying in here that says, you know, for each of your weeks, look at your week and plan your big rocks. Now, what those big rocks are, what's important? What are, you know, look at your week, look at all the things that you're juggling in your life, you know, whether it's all these, you know, your kids' activities, whether it's, you know, big assignments at work that need to get done, maybe it's volunteering. look at your mission statement and look at all the things that you have going on in your life. Mm. What is the most important? Mm. And actually, I was convicted by this when we went through this. We had recently moved just in the last couple of years, and I had a playground set that was delivered to our house back when mm-hmm. we first moved, and I hadn't put it up for my kids, and it was something that the kids kept asking me about. I kept pushing it off. There was always too many other priorities, too many other things around the house that I wanted to get done. And actually, I brought that example up in our house, and Les actually challenged me. He's like, that's a big rock. You plan that, right? Yeah. You know, and it's like one of those things, like it's one of those things, the weeks going by and it didn't get done. I didn't prioritize it. And then it's like, you know what, looking back, my kids, you know, that was important for my kids, you know? And so it was finally like, okay, put that on the calendar. And you know what? That rock's not going to be moved. I'm going to book that Saturday. If other things come up, no, you know, this is taking priority. So again, a kind of small example, but kind of one of those things that when you think about what's important as your role, you know, within each of your roles, right? As a father, that's hugely important, right? Being there for my kids, doing things fun with my kids, building the memories. To me, it was like, oh, that, you know, I have plenty of other things that I want to get accomplished, you know, at the house after we just moved in. But you know what? They've made a ton of memories on it now, right? And it's like, okay, prioritize those things that really matter. Yeah. And so, yeah, again, like, you know, you can have big rocks here at work, you know, in your personal life, but look at your week. And so one of the things I've kind of worked on too with my wife is, you know, on Sunday, okay, look at the week ahead. What's all going on? What do we need to accomplish? What are the big rocks? What are the things that we need to do? And again, kind of put those in the lens of, okay, your personal mission statement. What matters here, you know, and what do we really need to prioritize?
Yeah. Well, that's cool because a lot of that stuff doesn't happen because it's not urgent. Mm-hmm. Like doing that for your kids, it's not urgent, right? I mean, like, but it's really important.
Yeah.
And it needs to happen. Just like an oil change and... bad story on my part. I make myself look bad. I had an engine when I was 16. I was driving my Mitsubishi Spider Eclipse Mitsubishi, and the engine blew up because I missed too many oil changes, right? And, you know, I always look in that moment as like I missed what was most important.
Yeah.
And in the urgent, I, you know, I was trying to make it to cross country practice and keep life going. And for the sake of the urgent, I missed the important. And eventually, like, those things are going to blow up in your face if you miss those things. And you're thinking about those type of stuff for your kids. If you're married, like date nights with your spouse or stuff like that, it's like important, but it's not urgent necessarily. And just same thing with your work. What are those things? If you could do one thing today, what would that thing be that would make today a success?
Yeah.
You know, if you forget everything else, one thing, what would make your day a success? Maybe it's just getting lunch with someone.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not what you're currently working on, but maybe it's something that is you wouldn't have thought of. So I come back to that. It's like, if I could only do one thing today, what would that be to make today a success?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you touched on, you know, what's urgent versus not, you know, urgent. They, in the materials, they build out actually a matrix on where do you spend your time, and you know, things can be either urgent or not urgent, and then also important or not important. And so they actually map that out on an XY axis, and then in each of those, you know, four boxes. You know, things that are not urgent and not important. So really it's just kind of things they call it your waste zone, you know. And we all need downtime, right? I'm not saying that, you know, binge watching shows is always all bad, right? You need a little bit of time, but right, where are you spending your time and where do you want to be? And so they really say that the best place you really want to spend your time is on things that are important. But not urgent, right? That's where we can focus the best. That's where we, you know, really can build out things that that have meaning and impact. right? There are things that come up that are both urgent and important, right? You think about the daily fires that, oh, yes, this needs my intention right now, right? We have to live in that sometimes.
Right.
But still, the best quadrant is they call it that quadrant two, you know, things that are not urgent but are super important.
Yep. And learning how to move towards that. And so being able to move towards that quadrant.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to delegate something or find another way or change your schedule. But that's a great way to put it, moving towards that quadrant, because there's four of them.
Correct.
And then you have the non-important, non-urgent.
Yep.
You have the urgent but not important.
Yep.
And then you have the urgent and important, which is there's a fire and it's really important. You got to do it.
Yeah.
So
one of the ones that, so I think we've touched on all of them, but quadrant three, they call it, like you said, is the urgent but not important.
Yeah.
This one was kind of challenging, but here they kind of list out, you know, just different interruptions that you have. Or it might even be somebody else's, you know, it might be urgent to somebody else and then they're bringing you into it. And it's like, okay, well, do I really need to spend my time here, or can I, you know, can I, you know, either have somebody else assist, or, you know, how are you spending your time, again, to where you want to get up to? Yes, sometimes things are urgent and important, right? Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to live in that quadrant one, but quadrant two is kind of the sweet spot.
Sweet spot.
So yeah, bring everything up from quadrants three and four.
But. Yeah, and so just with these first couple ones, they are self-mastery. So no one else can do this for you. It's something that you have to grow in as a skill yourself. So proactivity, and begin with the end in mind, put first things first. So, and the way that you grow in it is to plan those big rocks.
Yep. Plan the big rocks.
Probably
the biggest takeaway for me. One of the biggest in the class was plan those big rocks. Don't let the high priority things that you need to do keep getting pushed off.
Put a plan into action. Okay. Yep. That's great. Some great things don't just happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Takes time. So let's go to the external ones, the outward facing habits. And this first one is win-win. And the idea behind that is there is plenty out there, situations in life where I think I'm the winner, you're the loser. That's the paradigm that we normally look at things, right?
Yeah.
There's only one person can win.
Yeah.
If you disagree with me, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Change your opinion.
I love the, they have a visual in there of a pie, right? The most people think there's only so much, you know, of that pie.
Yep.
But really for a really effective person, somebody that, you know, that is highly effective, they really say there's plenty out there for everybody, right? We just have to find, you know, all of that for everybody, you know, to take part in. And you know what? There's actually more out there to spare. So really thinking, you know what, that everybody can win, or we can all come to basically a win-win.
Yeah. And a phrase I tell myself when I read through this is there's always a third option. We think there's one or the other, yours or mine. We forget there's a third option out there that we both haven't considered.
Yeah.
And that's where you get this synergy, and that which is another one of the other habits that comes later. But you get synergy. You're better off when you can come up with those win-win situations. And just that abundance mentality and working for those win-win situations. I don't know if you have any examples of that, of stuff that comes to mind about win-win.
Yeah, probably the biggest thing when I was thinking through this, like you said, there's like six different combinations that you can think of, you know, like, you know, I'm going to win and Dayton, you're going to lose, right? Like that's one of those situations, right? There's I'm going to lose, you know, and you're going to win. And sometimes the mentality behind that is, you know, I always lose, right? People just kind of step on me, like I'm always down, right?
And that's,
you know,
not
I'm
good.
Never going to win, right? That's just, you know, there's no self-confidence in that mindset. You know, if I'm going to lose, then you're going to lose too, right? The lose.
Yeah.
Some people are just like, you know what, nothing else matters but me winning, right? Have that mindset of just, I'm going to trample everybody and I'm, you know, I don't care whatever, you know, what everybody else thinks.
Yeah.
I'm just going to win.
Yeah.
But really, like, it comes down to the win-win or win-win or no deal. That was one that was kind of, first kind of, I was like, oh, I've never really thought about that. And actually kind of my example here, is just at work is right. We price a lot of freight, and we work with a lot of customers. They give us their lane listings, and we go through and we price and we negotiate. And really what we're trying to do is come up with a win-win situation, right? We're going to provide an exceptional service to the customer, but in order to do that, we need a winning rate, right? We're going to give them, you know, a great service, but we need a win-win here. And if they're not going to accept it, right, it is a no deal, right? And that's okay. That's yeah. okay. We might find a no deal situation here, and quite, you know, we do find that quite often, right? When we have to turn down, and say nope. If you keep pushing us down on rate, we can't service it for that. So really, that's kind of it. Was one of the biggest takeaways for me is right. We want something that is going to be a mutual benefit to both Nussbaum mm-hmm. as well as to the customer when yeah. we go through those negotiations.
And I think something you're getting at with this is there's a bit of courage that you have to mm-hmm. put yourself out there and not always, like if you're in those lose-win situations, you're like, oh, Dustin always wins. It's mm-hmm. always his way or the highway. And I have to have some courage here to suggest another possibility yeah. and to present a picture. Hey, you know you could win at this too, like yeah. if we change this that we're doing. And yeah. so thinking about in that way too, there's a bit of courage element that goes mm-hmm. into it. Courage and compassion to be able to look and see, hey, I'm always trampling over, if I'm in the win, lose, and I'm always trampling you, I'm trampling over Dustin. I should consider him, and how do I come up with a situation where he benefits from it too?
Yeah, let's work together. Let's come up with that that alternative, yeah. right? That both parties can, yeah. you know, can. Let's have that abundance. Let's find that abundance.
Yeah,
right. Going back to the paradigm is there's enough out there for all of us.
Yeah. So that's the what it is. The win-win mentality. How do I grow in that? I guess mm-hmm. what's the how behind that one?
Yeah. I would say it's just that mindset, having that mindset, right? When you come up with yeah. a challenge or you're working with somebody, you know, and trying to figure out a solution, look for that other alternative, mm. right? If I am me focused and I'm centered on, you know, my winning, you know, am I taking you into account, and you know, what's best for you as well, right? And let's come to an agreement on what that is. I think it's just, again, just kind of keeping that principle top of mind when you're working through challenges or, mm-hmm. or you know, working through disagreement.
Yeah.
Is right. If you have built up these, you know, these first three habits, and really you are being your best self right now, you also have that other party. You want that the best for that other party as well, mm-hmm. and bring that into the conversation.
Yeah, I like that. Expanding your reach. I mean, if mm-hmm. you've learned how to do these other skills, then bringing other people into that.
Yeah.
That's terrific. So the next one, number five, is building on this idea of those public victories, what it looks like to succeed with other people, mm-hmm. and you must have the private victories before the public. But this is seek first to understand, then be understood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the really the overarching paradigm here is that I have greater influence with others if I truly understand them first. Right. The common person would say, no, I need to be understood. No, it's the only kind of, again, a me first mentality of, no, you just need to understand my perspective. But really, this says first seek to understand the other party. Right. First, if I'm going to be effective, I'm going to first understand your viewpoint and really flush that out. Because once I understand that, I'm going to have greater influence and impact mm-hmm. in my world.
Mm-hmm. It goes against our natural grain. And this one, I feel like this one speaks to me just because how much of the time do you say something and you're just thinking to yourself, they're not getting it. They're mm-hmm. they're not getting at what I'm saying. A lot of times we say stuff and we have meanings below the words. And so you have to learn how to read what people are telling you or trying to tell you mm-hmm. or I'm trying to tell you, and I'm not able to fully express it in my words, but it could look like this, like, hey, Dustin, you're telling me about this deadline or these things going on. It sounds like you're really concerned, mm-hmm. you know, what can you tell me about that?
Yeah.
And so just what is the overlying emotion that's going on with this?
Yeah.
And I think what you learn is that people begin to open up when you read them, when you read like, hey, I think you're feeling this way, and you just say it, you just kind of mimic what they're telling you and listen. And when you say that, that opens the door. It's like, actually, I am. I'm concerned that this is not going to go well. And then, you know, they'll really start to tell you like what they're feeling. And,
That goes right into the empathetic listening, right? And man, this was one of the things in the whole class that I looked at myself as like, yeah, this is probably one of the biggest things that I need to work on.
Both
in a professional setting, but man, when I'm at home with my wife and with my kids, right, being able to listen well, to listen empathetically. Like you said, it's kind of reaffirming what they're saying, what their emotion is, and trying to let them just continue talking, right? I hear that you're frustrated by this. That must have been super hard. And just keep that door open to let them continue to talk. It goes through there and it says, you know, use this strategy, you know, when the emotion is high, you know, when you just need to get to the heart of an issue, or you don't feel like you personally don't understand them. Ask questions and engage in their emotion to get them to continue to talk and to open, right? And it continually, or as they continue to talk, right, it will get down to the root cause of, you know, their frustration, their anger, or, you know, or their joy, right? Yeah. Like what emotion is being played upon there.
So, and I think when you do this, you start to see eye to eye with someone.
Yeah.
It's like they're listening to me. They're trying to understand. And I think what happens usually is, and for a parent, this might happen more often. Hey, you need to do this thing. And for whatever reason, they're not wanting to do it. Or maybe they have a very differing view than you have. Like you want them to go to college and major in something, and they're doing something else. And you keep asking them, like, hey, like, have you thought about applying to colleges? And they keep... Anyways, when you ask these empathetic listening questions, when you listen to someone, and then you kind of repeat back to it, it's easy just to deflect and just say, hey, just keep putting your viewpoint out there.
Yeah.
And the more you do that, the more they just continue to put a wall up.
Yeah.
And the way that you break down that is just, I'm getting a sense that you might feel inadequate or whatever that looks like, whatever the emotion is, or the joy. You mentioned that there's some positive emotions.
Yeah.
And so kind of working with that and understanding, empathetic listening, understand, and then I don't want to miss the second part, and then be understood yourself.
Yeah.
And you have to have the courage to put yourself out there also. If you're like, understand is great. We want to be understood first. But then once you've done that, to be able to communicate effectively, you have to be, make people understand you.
Yeah, you have to have the courage, right, to be able to share and express your opinion, even if you'll get, you know, you get feedback or you be able to take criticism, right? Be able to have that courage to put yourself out there after you've understood the other person and then say, okay, no, here's my point of view as well, right? It's not saying that, you know, you hinder your point of view, but it really is a focus. First, understand, and then also then you communicate your point as well.
Right, and I think with this, thinking about, like, how do you do that? So you both need courage and consideration. So consideration to how you're feeling, and then the courage to suggest your ideas.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we keep on running against this, and then you're able to present your idea. It's like, what if we go about it this way, and you create those win-win situations?
Yeah.
And so that's great. I love this. And so the way that we can grow in this is simple. You probably did this in the class. The exercise where you repeat back to someone what they're telling you.
We practiced this empathetic listening. We paired up with a member that was in the class, and basically we had to come up with something that was bothering you or a challenge that you were going through. And they had that person communicate what that challenge was, and the party that was listening, you could not fix it. Right, I feel like that was probably my biggest thing. It's like I just wanted to address the issue and try. Oh, this is my opinion on how you should fix it. Right, like that is just where my mind always went.
Yeah.
But really, it was a practice of okay, now try to bring out the emotion that they're communicating to you, And, you know, basically, man, I hear that you're really sad that, you know, this situation is happening. That must be really hard on you. And just leave it open for them to continue, right? And it's just it's bringing that emotion back and keeping it open ended to where the other party just continues to talk, so you get more information to understand. You know, it's not about just a quick fix and hey, here's my perspective, let's move on, right? You lose so much of, you know, the underlying root cause, right? That root cause might not come out in a conversation for, you know, quite a while. Of listening and just letting the other person talk. So
yeah, and that's how you come up with good solutions. Because if you don't understand someone, you're not considering their needs, then you're going to suggest wrong idea or stuff that they might not even. I didn't even want that. Yeah. I didn't even care about that. So yeah. I think when you do just listen. So this is how you build it. Is you could, it doesn't take much brain power. Repeat back to them what they're telling you.
Yeah, but it's amazing at how hard that exercise actually was and how often my mind is like, express my opinion and my thoughts, you know, and go. And it definitely is a mindset to like be careful, you know, especially when emotion is high and, you know, you need to get down to the root cause. Like, it is something that I am not good at and continue to strive to do better.
Yeah.
So
it's cool. Last one, synergy, which is let's come up with something together that's better than what either of us had in mind initially.
Yeah.
So what does synergy look like?
Yeah, really it's valuing our differences and building upon the strengths of others. Again, I feel like we've already talked about, you know, like let's come up with a third alternative. It is amazing at how many of these habits just intertwine with each other, which I think is what makes the model so neat is that it's just a logical progression of each of these habits, but they are so entwined with each other. So really, right, again, like we touched briefly in one of the other habits was, you know, it's more than it's just my way, right? Or it's more than your way. It's let's come up with a better way collectively, you know, to solve a problem and let's leverage, the, you know, your strengths, my strengths in order to do that and to value the perspectives of others.
Yeah.
And really that really kind of shapes up, right, that whole you know, public victory on if we're going to be good with working with others and working as a team and collaboration, it comes down to sitting together and coming up with that best solution together.
Yeah. When a team is better than one person, right? Synergy is when you're able to, the group project goes off better. You're not the one man team carrying the whole group across the finish line, but each person was able to contribute an idea, and you end up with this amazing Monet of masterpiece. Just thinking about what are ways that we can work on this together, and to get input into the stuff we're working on, and invite input into the things that you're doing. I think it's just one takeaway for me, and to consider there is value those differences. There is another option out there.
Sit and come up with the best solution, right? And you know, there's times where you get hung up on a problem, and but right, do our best to cooperate and to work together with people, and you know, and come up with that win-win situation.
Win-win.
So.
Those are the six, but wait, there's more.
There is more.
There's a seventh habit, and it's kind of a trick habit because it encompasses all of them together.
Yeah.
And this one's real short, simple, sweet. Sharpen the saw.
Sharpen the saw.
And what is sharpening the saw?
Yeah, right. So in order to be your best self, right, you've had this, you know, interpersonal, you know, habits that, you know, you're working on yourself to be proactive and you know, to really work with purpose and vision, to work well with others. But then in order for all of that to happen, you need to be refreshed yourself, right? You need to sharpen and renew yourself. And really, they talk about four key areas, right? Your physical, mental, emotional, and your spiritual being. So really, it's finding the time to invest back in yourself, right? You're only going to be your best if you're healthy, if your mind is sharp, if you are, you know, fulfilled in and of yourself, right? And just feeling your best. So
Yeah, those are each things that we need to take time every day and to build that and define things that do that, whether it be running, journaling, reading, connecting with a friend. What are ways that you can sharpen that saw so you keep on coming back at it? Life's tough, and to be able to keep coming back at it with renewed sense of joy, purpose, being reminded, like you said, this is a paradigm, and we need to put on those glasses, and to do that, we need to have be refreshed.
Yeah.
And so to find that inspiration and
It's being intentional about setting aside that time. That's right when life gets busy and you know priorities are pulling you know, many different directions. It's about sitting down and finding that time for yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Now you want to be out there and you want to be of service to others and to be impactful to others, but at the same time too, you need to take care of yourself as well.
Yeah. So the sharpen the saw, what that comes back to, I think he shares the story of two people out in the woods and they're cutting down trees and one of them cuts all day, no breaks, and he ends up always cutting less than the other guy who leaves for like an hour and he comes back and he always cuts less than this other guy. And he asked him, like, why are you always cutting more wood than me? And he says, well, I go home and I sharpen my axe. So that 1 hour, that this habit is, what do you do in that 1 hour that's going to make you come back sharper, more renewed, focused, more focused?
Absolutely.
And so a lot of and that's what all these habits tell us is to think about the end in mind, proactivity, I don't want to go through all of them. we've just won through all of them, but just to think through these habits, and so we've covered a lot. That was a crash course.
Yes. Would encourage anybody that's interested, go through the course. I mean, there's a lot more detail in there, but again, I feel like it just comes back to just great core principles here to to focus on. Again, like I've just these little handy cards here. I mean, just even just refreshing myself, every once in a while of it'll trigger that a thought in my mind of I gotta keep working on that empathetic listening, I gotta schedule the big rocks here this week, or continue to live in my mission. Just great reminders, again, both personally and professionally, to live and really to be your best self here. So
I love it. And this is a challenge for anyone listening. After this episode, take 5 minutes, write out your mission statement.
Yeah.
I think that's a great one.
Great place to start.
Check off the list.
Yeah.
It's easy. You can say you did it, and you can always refine that later in life as life progresses. But and just continue. Yeah, look into this proactivity, focusing on what you can control. So I just wanted to say thank you, Dustin, for making this happen.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Not everyone would be willing to do a topic like this. This is a heavy topic. There's a lot here. And just for not shying away. Sometimes I, come around asking people if they want to do the podcast and, then scatters.
I appreciate you asking me. It was good for me too to get back and to kind of dive through each of these again. Yeah. It's good to review.
Yeah,
For sure.
It is good for me.
Appreciate the ask.
Yeah, hope it's helpful for the people listening and that you find, some good things with it. So.
Yeah.
Thank you to Daniel, and thank you to our listeners. And until next time, stay purpose driven and own it every moment.
Hi, this is Lisa from Recruiting at Nussbaum, and I'd love to answer any questions you have about driving with us. Give us a call at 309-268-1199 or visit nussbaumjobs.com. Talk to you soon. You've been listening to Terminal Exchange, the official podcast of Nussbaum Transportation. If you're enjoying our content, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us spread the word about these important topics and invite more people into conversation. You can rate and review us on your podcast app or visit us online at terminalexchange.org. New episodes arrive every other Tuesday, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow Nussbaum on your favorite social media platforms and be the first to know when new episodes are released. Thanks for listening. Until next time, Own every moment and stay purpose-driven.